Good morning. If you're watching this video right now, you might notice it looks a little bit different than if you watch our other messages. That's because, unfortunately, as we were recording this message on April 21st on how worship defeats worry, we had a video glitch, and we ended up not being able to share that video out on the internet. And because I've really appreciated this message series called Anxious for Nothing, I've received a lot of good feedback. I wanted to fill in the blank. Fill in that gap, and so I'm re-recording this message right now for all of you online to be able to catch this middle message on this first tool we talked about on how we can defeat our anxious thoughts through worship. So we're coming in through this series where we're talking about how to find freedom from anxiety, and today we're looking at the very first tool of how we can find peace in the middle of all the chaos and the worry and the anxious thoughts that sometimes feel like dark clouds over your heart and your mind. And where we're going to begin today is probably where most people never think to start. I think when most people are dealing with anxiety, depression, the weight of worry on their shoulders, the first thing they want to do is call their doctor and say, maybe I need to get on meds. Or make an appointment with a therapist and say, I need to have counseling, I need to have therapy, that'll get me through it. And believe me, I'm not the type of pastor who says there's anything wrong with that. As a foster parent, I have been through boatloads of therapy sessions with kids. And I've seen it make a huge difference in helping kids unpack their past trauma. But I also understand that if you try to make a therapy appointment in this community right now, it might be months before you're able to get into your first session, or you have to drive over an hour away. Fortunately, I believe that God gives us a much more accessible and cheaper solution that for most people is the start of how they can start to battle their way out of the anxious thoughts if we start with God's word. And so today, we're going to unpack the first secret weapon that God gives us, and that weapon is worship. What we see clearly in Scripture is that worship defeats worry. You might be wondering, how does worshiping God make any impact on your anxious thoughts? Well, the Bible actually tells us that God sits enthroned in the middle of the praises of his people. King David wrote a psalm while he was in a dark place, and it moves from his suffering to praising God. And the reason that David could make that jump was because he trusted God no matter the circumstances. He knew that God would provide. Here's what he wrote in Psalm chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the assembly. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. You see, when we worship, God shows up. No matter how bad you feel, no matter how stuck you are in that pit of despairing thoughts, when you begin to worship God in your heart and mind, the Spirit of God comes alive inside you. The Holy Spirit inside you is connected with the Father through your worship. And so then the peace and the love and the joy of God is able to flow through the Spirit of God into your heart and into your mind. Last summer, on a youth mission trip, on Monday evening, our activity was to go to a worship service in a church. It was called a Dullam. And we had one young lady who really struggles with anxiety in her life. And after that night of worship, she told me how it just completely changed her perspective, how she was able to experience a deep sense of calm and peace through that entire night of worshiping God in that room, just a whole group of people putting God first. She said it was the most peaceful place she'd ever felt God's presence. And I too can personally attest to the power of worship in defeating worry and stress and those feelings of hopelessness. as a pastor, I probably have a lot more opportunity than many of you to just sit back and in my thoughts, in my prayers, and in quiet time with God of worship. It's part of my job, and it is a wonderful part of my job. And what I find is that whenever I go into that quiet time with God, whatever is upsetting me, whatever has my chest just feeling tight, when I begin connecting with God through worship, usually those issues are resolved in very short order. Exactly how it works, I can't fully explain, other than saying that God shows up when I worship. And when I'm done, my mind is usually much clearer and I'm full of peace. Now, before you write me off as being too touchy-feely or assume that that might just be my experience, but it won't be yours, I'm confident in sharing this with you because this is exactly what Paul tells us in our passage from Philippians chapter 4, which we're walking through this entire series. Remember how the passage begins in verse 4. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Paul's really clear here. In fact, he wants to be so clear and make his point so obvious that he repeats himself a second time. Finding joy in God, essentially worshiping him with a glad heart, is not optional. It's part of unlocking verse 7, which says that the peace of God will ultimately guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But the way we get there is by rejoicing in our Savior. And he tells us to rejoice always. It's not based on our circumstances. If that were the case, we would only worship God when everything was sunshine and wonderful in our lives. But the fact is, we're in a series talking about anxiety, depression, hopeless thoughts, and feeling of just angst inside our hearts. So, of course, when Paul says, worship always, rejoice always, that means even when you feel like you're in the pit, even when you feel overwhelmed and hopeless, Paul still tells you, rejoice in the Lord, worship God, be satisfied in him, regardless of the circumstances that you're going through. You see, what makes worship so powerful is that it ultimately takes your problems that feel so big and so crushing, and it shrinks them, it minimizes them, and instead it elevates God. It's easy when your mind is racing through the what-ifs of life to only see all the bleak possibilities. All you see are your problems, real and imagined. And so you feel surrounded by your problems. I had several teenagers in my youth group that were all wrestling with their anxiety, and I recently challenged them. I said, hey, for 5 days in this little text group, let's each text to each other 2 things we're thankful for and 1 prayer request. And without fail, from all 3 of those people for 5 days, both things they were thankful for were tied to their anxiety, and their prayer request was, help me with my anxiety. And what I realized so quickly is all they could see in life was everything bad and crushing in their lives. Like even what they're thankful for wasn't really like good things. It was like, thank you for my mom who helped me when I cried for an hour in my room. And so everything was just tied to the darkness. Essentially, all they could see were their problems. But that's what worship does. Worship makes God bigger and your problems smaller. When you worship God, your eyes move off of your problems, off of your worries, off of the situations that you really have no control over. And instead, it puts your eyes on the one who holds everything in his hands. It elevates the one who can offer you true peace and joy as you remind yourself that he is your all in all. Now, as you worship God, there's 2 specific reasons to worship God which hold exceptional power to help you break free from your anxiety. One is worshiping God for his power over your future. And the other is worshiping God for his power over your past. First, let's look at what it means to worship God for his future, in the future. It's understanding that God is sovereign. And it's worshiping him for his sovereign control over everything in your life, especially what is to come ahead. When we say God is sovereign, it means he is in control of everything in the universe. That's what that word means. Does he cause every bad thing to happen? No. But is it out of his control to have stopped it? No. For many people, it's an inability to control the what-ifs of the future that is a huge trigger, possibly for your anxiety. You maybe have an intense fear of what might happen in this situation or that event because there's nothing that you can do in your mind when something bad happens. That's maybe why you avoid crowds or even why you avoid going to important family events. This connection between a feeling of a lack of control and anxiety can be shown in two events or in two examples. I was reading about in World War II, there were fighter pilots and there were infantrymen, and they did a study to see how they were coping with the challenges of their roles. Ultimately, fighter pilots had much better mental health. They had a much more positivity and hopefulness about winning the war, even though, as fighter pilots, they had a much lower chance of survival in every mission than the infantrymen. It was the infantrymen who had a much lower chance of being killed in the battlefield, but they felt completely hopeless. And here's what they recognized was the difference. For infantrymen, typically, they were fine until, like, a random bomb would be dropped on them. So they felt like the war was completely out of their control. Meanwhile, the fighter pilots had the joystick in their hands. Even though they knew there was a lower chance of them coming home safely, they felt like their chances were in their own hands. They had control of the situation, and so they had a better attitude about how they were going to come through those difficult challenges. A second example that maybe you can relate to a lot more is when you're stuck in traffic. I know it doesn't happen a lot here in Lucas County, but those times you visit a big city and you end up caught in the middle of a traffic jam. Maybe four lanes wide, you can't change lanes any direction. And it's in that middle of just sitting there, unable to move forward, unable to move backward, unable to exit, that you start to feel your chest tighten. You realize you are completely out of control of that situation. That's where road rage situations happen, because people so quickly, in feeling like they have no control, get so angry and so amped up because they can't control the situation. So, seems like maybe a possible fix for your anxious thoughts is to simply control everything around you more tightly. But anybody who's ever tried that finds out very quickly that that is a fool's errand. You become a control freak without any peace and not much more actual control in your life than before you started trying to clutch for the control over everybody in your life. And your family and coworkers probably like you a lot less. The true antidote to anxiety rooted in feelings of a lack of control is to somehow in yourself be able to say, God, I give you total control. You're the only one who actually has the power to do anything with my future. And so you give that control to the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who sustains everything by his very word. The prophet Jeremiah, I think, says it really well in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. He said, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. Here's the point. For many of you, your worry is all about the future. What bad thing is going to happen? But you can't control the future, hence your anxiety. But God can. So worship God for his sovereign control over the future. And the fact that in his kindness and love, he wants what's best for you. Some people really struggle with the idea that God is in sovereign control of everything in this world. But it really is one of the most freeing doctrines of God. It allows you to relax a bit and trust, knowing that while things may be out of your hands, they're never out of his. He is always going to work it out. Sure, situations may come and go that look bleak. Things might not go the way that you had planned. And Paul describes that in his letter to the Philippians. And yet, he still had total trust in God. Philippians 3:17 says that even if, Paul's saying, even if his life was poured out as a drink offering, even if he died for preaching the gospel, even if it didn't go the way he planned, he would still rejoice. That is putting trust in God's sovereignty. So follow Paul's lead and rejoice that God is in total control. So that's what it looks like to worship God for your future. But now let's talk about worshiping God for our past. Many other people are anxious because of their past. You start thinking or trying to deal with what you've done, mistakes you've made, things that have happened to you in your past, and you get very nervous very quickly. You don't want anybody to hear what's going on or went on in the past. Your chest tightens, and you're like, I just want to leave that behind. You're filled with feelings of guilt and regret. You know you messed up, or maybe you didn't perform to other people's standards, and so you just want to hide. Maybe you don't want to be found out for your mistakes, or you don't want to be recognized as an imposter, doing things that if people knew what your past contained, they would never let you do what you're currently doing today, maybe in your job or in a volunteer position. So maybe you're living a life of hiding and hoping to not be found out. You never let people really get to know you, and you are in a constant state of fear that one day you too will be exposed. The truth, however, is that a peaceful soul dwells in grace and not in guilt. Let me say that again. You will find your peace in grace, never in guilt. As long as you continue to feel guilty for your sins and your shame, for all your mistakes in life, you cannot ever experience the peace that God has for you. Right before Paul's drink offering comment in chapter 3 in his letter to the Philippians, Paul discussed how he had to leave his past of relying on his good works. He had to leave that behind and instead move forward with faith in Jesus for his righteousness. In verses 13 and 14 of chapter 3, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What this means for you is that if you haven't already, you have to let go of whatever is holding you back. You have to trust God's mercy and his forgiveness and put your eyes on Jesus. You can't keep trying to hide this from people, trying to run from this, trying to not be exposed. You have to cut it from your life and say, Jesus, take my past, take my junk, take my mistakes, take my failures so that I can live in freedom, so that I can experience the peace that you have for me. Praise God that he is in control not only of your future, but also of your past. If you've put your trust in Jesus, then you need to grab the promise that you have been washed clean. You have been set free from your sins. He no longer sees your mistakes. He only sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ put on you as you clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ. So stop beating yourself up and ruminating on your past. God has set you free from that. So rejoice, for the Lord has forgiven you. So, how can you defeat worry with worship this week? Here's some very practical tips on things you can do. First, listen to your favorite worship music. Maybe it's a favorite cassette tape or a CD that you have of the Gaithers. Maybe you're young, cool, like me. You've got a Spotify list or Apple Music or YouTube Music now. Pick your favorites. I have a short list of songs that I love, albums, artists, different songs that I listen to. I put them on repeat sometimes to just allow them to calm my soul. There's something about just hearing that music and just letting go of your problems and just joining in with the words of that song in worshiping God. But worship isn't always just music. Sometimes you can just sit and recite God's promises to you. There's a book that I've recommended before. It's called Breath Prayer. Another book that I love called Face to Face. If you're interested in those, reach out to me and I can point you in the direction of how you can get your hands on a copy of those. You can read through the prayers or the promises of God and pray them for yourself. There's a bunch of resources online that are the promises of God. I've made a list of 20 of God's promises that I've printed out. They're available at the church, or I could email that to you if you wanted to get your hands on that. And you just go through these verses, read these books, whatever resources you have. And I encourage you, read them out loud. There's something about saying the words out loud. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I am victorious. There's all these verses in the Bible, and as we speak them out loud, we begin to believe them. We begin to worship God for the fact, not that we're doing it on our own, but that we can do these things because of His power. Third thing I encourage you to do, keep coming to church or keep watching this series online. This is just the first tool of four. I've already preached the other three. Go through those messages and recognize that God has given us ways that we can fight back against this anxiety, this worry, these thoughts of despair, disillusionment, depression. We create these services ultimately for you and with your battles in mind. And I know some of you might think that we do a lot of music in our services, but it has a purpose. It gives you a time to connect with God, to pray, and to remember that God is a lot bigger than your problems. When we have 7 or 8 songs in the service, you don't have to sing every single word with every song. But hopefully it's creating a moment where you can sit and you can reflect and you can pray and you can say, God, I'm going through some stuff. I need you to take my problems. I need you to empty my mind and help me clear my mind so I can focus it on you and on what you have for me to learn from you today. That's why we create that moment in our worship service. It's not just to say, hey, we did 8 songs today. It's to create a moment for you to connect with God through worship. When you're feeling crushed by anxiety and are surrounded by dark clouds, it's likely that your problems and worries are looming large in your mind and are completely stealing your joy. You need to shift your perspective. You need to make God big and your problems small. And you do that by worshiping God. Invite Him to fill your heart and your mind and to bring His peace and His joy with Him. As you worship, rejoice that God is in control of your future and all the things that you think could go wrong. Just say, God, I trust you have those in your hand. And worship God for all those things in your past that He's taken from you. Your regrets, your mistakes, your shame, your embarrassment, your sin. And say, God, thank you for your forgiveness and for your mercy. As you rejoice always, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding be yours. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?